Hey guys, welcome to another episode and Sometimes There's Scotch Horror Podcast. I'm Sam, and with me as always is my cohort, Jonathan.
Hi.
And last week we reviewed, what was it, Fright Night?
Yeah.
It was Fright Night, and we did Fright Night sober. But apparently there's some issues right now with iTunes having it, mm-hmm. So I'm going to look into that, guys. But we do have an episode on Podomatic, so look that up. And this is our second go at Silent Night, Deadly Night, because I was a little bit too inebriated last time, so I'm sorry, guys.
Last attempt was pretty well cursed.
Mm.
We had tons of technical issues being able to record, and yeah, then somebody couldn't hold their liquor.
Wow. Rude. So that happened. I was making it for the last time that we couldn't drink. So
yeah.
I overdid it, guys. It happens. Okay, anyways, some of the stuff that we talked about last episode was that we were trying to be a little bit more structured.
Mm-hmm.
And we were like, we don't know what they really want with that. So I started listening to other podcasts.
Okay.
Briefly. And one of the things that I really liked about a few podcasts that I'd listened to was the fact that they did, like, little skits beforehand, but I feel like at this point doing a skit wouldn't make much sense.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, future episodes we could do, like, a little skit. But the other thing that I really liked was this idea of nerd news. And I air-quoted that, because you guys can't see me air-quote.
She really did it.
I did do it. I did it again. It actually looks like the monster at the end of the Buffy's.
The mutant invader, yes.
Yeah. But anyways, I really like that idea of having nerd news, except for we weren't going to do just like a plethora of news for you guys. It would be like quick little blurbs about what's happening in horror. So, do you know anything, Jonathan?
I never know anything.
You never know anything. Okay. Well, recently, and it has to do with our show a little bit, there was talks about a Toxic Avenger remake. And they had actually announced, like, somebody that they wanted to direct at, and they wanted to have Kevin Smith do it. And he turned it down. And the reasoning behind that is because the studios wanted him to spend $35 million, I think it was, to produce a Toxic Avenger remake. And as excited as he was to, like, do a Toxie remake, because, like, Toxie's from New Jersey, he's from New Jersey, like...
Yeah.
And, like, he watched Troma and all that. He felt that doing it for $35 million would definitely, like, ruin Toxie. Like, according to him, he's like, I felt like Toxie was made, but it was, like, 10 cents total, if that.
Sounds,
you know,
right,
like,
yeah.
It was very low budget. So to do it with that kind of high of a budget, like, just didn't make sense to him, and that's why he passed on it. So, and I can respect that.
Yeah. I kind of wonder, like, why, what studio is, like, their immediate first thought is, like, Kevin Smith.
Right.
I mean, yeah, I guess, you know, obviously Toxic Avenger's a, you know, goofy movie and et cetera, but very different styles of humor, I
yeah,
would say.
Definitely. It could be the fact that, like, Kevin Smith is a more well-known kind of indie-ish, you know, director. He's got his own podcasts. He does a lot of comic book-centric stuff. I think he wrote for Daredevil for a while, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, like, I feel like maybe that's why people were like, ooh, let's get him to do this. Whereas, personally, if we're going to have anybody do a Toxie remake,
it,
like,
would have to be
James Gunn. Like,
yeah. No question.
No questions asked whatsoever, you know? I'm honestly waiting for... If he doesn't do a Toxic Avenger remake... I would just love to see the Troma car flip in a Guardians of the Galaxy movie. Like, and I know there's a lot of people who are listening to this podcast who are like, what is she talking about? But all of you guys and gals out there who watch Troma, you know what car flip we're talking about. They spent so much money on this car flip, and they try to put it in every single Troma movie. And why are we saying James Gunn with Troma? Because that's...
where he got his start,
you know, like
Terra Firma.
Yeah, I think it was Terra Firma. If it wasn't Terra Firma, I think he wrote Romeo and Juliet.
Yeah,
or like he co-wrote it or something.
And before either of those, I want to say he was a PA. Like he worked his way up.
Yeah, and I think he did a few like Troma like PSA spots or whatever. And you have that book. Make your own damn movie. Your own
damn movie. Yeah,
yeah, and doesn't Kaufman. He do, like, a foreword in it or something?
He does one of the forewords, and Trey Parker does the other, yeah.
Yeah, so there you go.
Yeah.
And then in other horror news, they've announced that Quentin Tarantino is doing a Manson biopic. And I don't know if it's actually about the life of Charles Manson, or if it's specifically the Sharon Tate murders. Because there's a rumor going on Twitter right now saying that he's going to release the movie on the anniversary of Sharon Tate's murders.
Yeah.
So, but that's really all I've got right now for, like, horror news. New stuff comes out daily. Mm-hmm. I think I saw somewhere that Silent Night, Deadly Night is actually getting a 4K restoration Blu-ray release right now, which is fantastic because that's exactly what we're talking about today. So,
yeah, yes, we are. So, we are reviewing Silent Night, Deadly Night, and its remake, Silent Night. For this episode, would you like to talk about what we're drinking?
Yes. Last time we tried to record this, we did Butterbeers. Mm-hmm. Which were delicious. If you want a butterbeer and you want an alcoholic, because obviously, like, that's what we do on this podcast, you need butter shots. What else was it?
It's butter shots. We used a whipped or vanilla vodka.
Right.
The pinnacle that we used. And then you just need some cream soda.
That's right. That's all you need.
Yeah.
Super simple to make. And I think you had a scotch of some variety. Last time.
Yeah, it's probably almost gone by now, because, wink, wink, I'm a bit of an alcoholic. But, yeah, no, I bought some Dewars.
Yeah, she bought some Dewars. So, but tonight we are having, once again, cream soda and butter shots, but I don't have the whipped vodka in it.
Yeah.
And you are having?
I'm going really fancy today. I'm drinking a, Tang screwdriver. So,
Yeah.
No judging.
We're classy, guys. We were going to do, like, more holiday-centric drinks, and we'll probably do that for our next episode of Black Christmas. But let's go on. Let's talk about Silent Night, Deadly Night, and its remake, Silent Night.
Okay. You want to talk about the story and, you know, even the origin of these movies a little bit?
Okay. So stories are pretty much the same-ish. The story of Silent Night, Deadly Night is that this kid witnesses horrific stuff centered around Santa, and then years later goes on a murderous rampage. Like, something snaps in him, and that happens.
Yeah.
And Silent Night, this person goes on this murderous rampage in a Santa costume, but you're not really sure, like, why. Mm-hmm. And they kind of piece it together towards the end, but you have to fill in a whole lot of blanks on your own. And it's referencing within referencing the movie. Like, it referenced itself in that movie. Like, it's not referencing other movies. It's weird.
Yeah. So, these movies I would call very, very... in terms of these two movies, I'd say that the remake is a very, very loose remake.
Yeah, and they even say that.
Yeah. There's really not a whole lot of connective tissue between these two, except for, you know, basically guy dressed as Santa killing people.
And certain deaths.
And certain deaths. Obviously, they do, you know, they borrow the most iconic death, probably.
Yeah.
The one where Linnea Quigley is impaled on some antlers. That was inventive, yeah.
It was nice. It was cool. Yeah. So, we should probably mention, and we probably should have done that earlier when we started talking about this, and I feel bad about it, that there will be mention of rape. Because in the original, the kid does witness a Santa Claus violate his mother in such
there,
a way.
There are two scenes, yeah.
Yeah.
So, be warned.
Yeah, so if you guys want to, like, stop listening to this, we're not going to be insulted. We want to make sure that when you're listening to our podcast, like, you enjoy it and it doesn't, like, give you any discomfort in any way.
Yeah.
So
yeah, warning out of the way.
Uh-huh.
What did you think of the original Silent Night, Deadly Night?
I like the fact that they really built up the villain.
Mm-hmm.
You know? You witness all the stuff that Billy's the kid who goes on the murderous rampage. It was nice to see them, like, build up his character.
Huh.
They explained, like, every... You could get into the mindset of him. And I watch a lot of Forensic Files. I don't know if you do that.
Yeah, I never watch.
Like,
look at my view history.
I know, right? So, like, I watch a lot of, like, Cold Case Files and Forensic Files and Snapped and all that stuff. And so I'm always interested to see, like, the development of the psycho. And I like that that's what they did in Silent Night, Deadly Night. Like, they started off like he's a little kid. Mm-hmm. And, you know, mom and dad are like, you gotta be asleep when Santa shows up. Because, you know, of course, that's what every parent tells their kid. And then they visit Grandpa, and Grandpa's in a mental institution. And Grandpa hasn't said anything to anybody for years. And he pulls Billy aside and is like, Santa's gonna get you, fucker.
Yeah.
But he doesn't actually say that, but he makes it very clear that Santa's not somebody to mess with. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah. So I actually find it very interesting that you, like that you say, you know, it explains the villain. Because in watching this movie, my thought is he the villain? Like, he's almost in this really kind of sick way the movie's hero, because you don't really have a strong protagonist. Like, it's actually one of the things I do kind of like about this movie, right. Even though I don't really like it that much.
Right.
Is that it is so kind of gleefully misanthropic that I really do think the bad guy in this movie is everybody that he kills. All of the innocent people that he kills.
Right. I can see that, because there are things that, like, definitely cause Billy to want to kill them. And it goes back to your theory of Jason Voorhees not necessarily... The whole, like, Jason Voorhees thing you brought up in our Friday the 13th episode, where, like, they were punishing the wicked.
Yeah.
You know, the idea of, like, sex is bad, and drugs are bad, and drinking is bad, and these people are going to die because of that. And Billy does target people who that's exactly why.
Well, yeah, and it's worth noting that the triggering event for his, you know, major psychotic break is witnessing a rape.
Yeah.
Like, again.
Yeah.
When he's a kid, a guy dressed as Santa Claus flags down their car, and they stop because, you know, it's Christmas Eve, and they're good people.
Yeah.
So he kills his father. So the guy dressed as Santa kills his father and then rapes his mother.
Yeah, in front of the poor kid.
In front of the poor kid. And then, of course, later, at the age of 17, 18, something like that.
Yeah.
He's at an office. He's at a store party because he works in a toy store.
Right.
And he witnesses. He witnesses a coworker raping another coworker.
Yeah, he does.
Or attempting to.
Attempting to.
And so he snaps and kills the coworker, and then he kills the other coworker.
Yeah, because she freaked out.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's worth noting also that, like, he's 17, 18, working at this toy store. And nobody at any point has told him that what happened to his parents was not actually any kind of, like, Santa doing it. Because he has spent a good portion of his youth living in a orphanage.
Yeah.
Raised by Catholic nuns.
Yes.
You know? And it is definitely your stereotypical, like, Catholic nun that you see in movies where they're very, like...
Super strict.
Super strict and don't explain a whole lot of stuff. And, you know, very much like shame, 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 shame. Yeah.
Sorry. I had to go all Game of Thrones. Sorry.
So, yeah. And, of course, you know, he's got this nicer nun that's working there, mm-hmm. who actually is the one who tries to get him the job and try to get him out of the orphanage, but he's been pretty well warped by, like, the mother superior.
Yeah. Well, and one of the things I actually really enjoy about the movie is the fact that most everything seems to come, you know, and in addition to him kind of snapping, coming from his misunderstanding of what Santa Claus is.
Yeah.
So, like, he, you know, when he's a kid, you know, afterwards, you know, when they take him to sit on Santa's lap, he, like, knocks, like, he punches Santa out. And then later, when he gets the job in the toy store, and his boss realizes he's about the right height and whatever, and decides, you know, to, you know,
be
he
Santa.
He should be their Santa.
Yeah.
Like, he's got children's lap, and he's, you know, like, telling them that he's gonna come and, you know, like, do terrible things to them if they aren't good.
Oh, like, God, yeah, that's right! Like, there's that poor little girl who's, like, fidgeting all the time, and he's, like, whispering to her, and it's... God, it's really disturbing. Yeah, I can't even remember what he exactly says, but you're right, it's basically, like, a threat, but he does it so quietly to her, like... Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, like he's just a guy. He's very method, is what he is. He just really got into his part.
Yeah.
And then even later, after he kills Linnea Quigley, and he comes to her sister and he gives her a box cutter.
Yeah, that's right. So to set up that scene, he's just murdered everybody at the toy store, which was the coworker he had a crush on, the coworker's rapist.
Would be, yeah.
Would be rapist. The boss.
Yeah.
And, like, another female coworker.
Yeah, he killed her with a bow and arrow.
Yeah.
He's inventive.
He is. So, and then he goes on, he just leaves, and he ends up at Lena Quigley's house. And for whatever reason, I don't know if the rest of you ladies out there do this, and maybe some of you gents do this, I don't know, but you're just like, oh, it's cold. Better answer the door in short shorts and no top.
That's me every single day.
Right? Like,
that's what I get most excited about winter for.
Exactly. You're just like, oh, snow's on the ground, nips are out. Because horror movie logic. Mm-hmm. So she answers the door topless, and of course Billy comes in and is like, boobs, rah, destroy. It's true in every freaking horror movie. I would just like once for the villain to be like, what are those? But no, stabby, stabby. And he does. He ends up like throwing around like a rag doll, and then he impales her onto the antlers of a reindeer.
Of a mounted. Like a,
mounted,
a,
yeah.
I want to say it was just a regular deer.
It might have been a regular deer, yeah.
Reindeer would be a nice touch.
It would have been. It would have been very inventive. But yeah, he hoists her up, and then he also kills her boyfriend, or at least the guy that she was, like, canoodling with earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right. After he's done all this, like, the little girl finds Santa, and she starts talking to Santa, and he's like, have you been good? And she's like, uh-huh. So he hands her over a bloody box cutter.
Yep.
And then leaves.
Mm-hmm. Just like Santa would.
Just like Santa would. You know? Santa gives out bloody box cutters, kids.
the moment of this movie where at least part of it had to be, like I had to say that at least, you know, in some way it's got a very, like, some kind of a special spot in my heart, though, is actually different death scene. Linnea Quigley's is probably the most iconic, but this is my favorite, was the sledding scene, where you just have this long cutaway with, you know, two, like, kind of teenagers, you know, they talk about, like, maybe they might have talked about some bowling or something like that, yeah, or whatever. But, you know, like, one sleds down this hill, and then the other comes down, and out of freaking nowhere, Santa just, you know, Billy, and as Santa just pops out with an axe.
Yeah.
Just hacks his head off. And then his headless body just rolls to the bottom of the hill, and the other kid turns around and screams, and it is such gleeful, hateful violence.
Oh, man. Yeah, and I mean, those are the only two, like, really notable deaths in this movie. Because the rest of them were pretty much, like, stabbing.
Or,
like,
yeah, well, he had a good variety there. Cause, yeah. He strangles the rapist with the
Christmas lights. Which I don't even know if that can actually happen, guys. Mm-hmm. I don't think they're strong enough.
I can't remember how he killed the girl. Did he strangle her, too? Or did he stab her?
He strangled her, I believe.
Okay. He killed his boss with a hammer.
Yeah.
Killed the other coworker with a bow and arrow.
Yeah.
Linnea Quigley gets impaled.
With reindeer.
Or deer. Antlers. Antler-paled.
Mm-mm.
Her boyfriend gets thrown through a window.
Yep.
Onto some glass, I guess. Or through some glass.
I think it's through some glass.
Yeah. However you want to word it.
Right.
I can't remember how he... Did he kill the cop with... Well, of course, he killed the kid with an axe. Did he kill the cop with an axe, too?
Yeah.
Okay. And then he tries to kill the Mother Superior with an axe.
And he ends up getting shot.
Yeah.
Oh, the other notable death in that was when the police shot the priest.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, so, like... They sent out a warning to the orphanage because they knew that Billy would be going back to the orphanage, or they assumed.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, hey, you know, we're looking for a guy in a Santa costume. And of course they said, you know, Santa costume, and they gave a rough build of what Billy was, how, you know, tall Billy was and all that. And they end up gunning down this Santa Claus in front of these children.
Mm-hmm.
And they assumed it was Billy.
Yeah.
It was not Billy.
No.
It was a priest who occasionally dressed up as Santa for the children.
Yeah. No,
the cops totally killed.
I love how absolutely incompetent the cops are in this movie. It's pretty great.
Right. Anything else you want to say about the original movie at all before we move on to the loose remake?
I can't say the original is a particularly good movie.
No,
it's pretty schlocky,
which is what we'll do.
Exploitative.
Yeah.
Not even like, you know, most of the parts about it that I actually kind of like, I'm not sure how intentional they really are. But I do appreciate, first of all, the fact that it doesn't try to wrap anything up in mystery. Like, okay. It's a very straightforward story.
It is.
It's very chronological, point A to point B to point C.
You know, yeah.
I actually appreciate that it doesn't follow what would have been the standard formula at the time, which would have been the Halloween formula.
Yeah.
Where you have the killer go through and you have your, until the very end, more or less unrelated main girl or main person. Like, it's literally, you're literally just following Billy.
Yeah.
And occasionally you cut away to the nuns, but they're not really main characters.
No.
And I frankly, you know, really like how this is, the movie comes off as, you know, at least to me, as being very kind of anti, it seems to have this very strong message of quit lying to your kids.
Yeah.
So don't, you know, fill their heads with these notions of Santa, because when you have to keep relying and relying and relying, they get really messed up, you know, images or messed up ideas in their head.
Yeah.
And then you take that and you follow it straight through to a Catholic church, which,
as we said, it's very stereotypical. Like,
yeah,
it's the worst stereotype you can think of for Catholicism.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So. And I also have to appreciate that it's one of the few slasher movies, and you kind of touched on this a bit too, where they actually do kind of explain why, you know, it's always kids, you know, having sex right before he kills them.
Yeah.
Because he literally thinks that, you know, it's evil.
Exactly.
One of the most notable scenes, you know, earlier on is, you know, when as a kid or as like a, you know, preteen or whatever, he catches, you know, a pair of older kids, you know, having, you know, teenagers having sex in the orphanage.
Yeah.
And then the Mother Superior catches him and doesn't bother to explain, you know, that it's not wrong in and of itself. It's wrong because they're underaged and they're not married and they're in a public place.
In a public place, and it's a Catholic orphanage. Like, I don't know, guys. Like, that just seems extra, like, even if you're married, like, that just feels extra nasty to me.
Right. instead, she's just like, that's evil. That's evil.
Yeah.
So he develops his entire life thinking that sex is evil.
Yeah, and he's got a twitch.
Yeah.
And, I mean, they show it in one scene where he's, like, cowering in the corner, just kind of twitching and saying that he's going to be a good boy, he's going to be a good boy. And then he does it again later when he's older,
mm-hmm.
After he's had kind of a sexual dream of one of his coworkers.
Mm-hmm.
He does it again. So it's very obvious that there's some story that we didn't get there where he's probably beaten quite a bit.
Yeah.
You know? And like I said, guys, it's a very, the worst kind of stereotype you can think of for a Mother Superior of a Catholic church.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
And I also do appreciate very much how absolutely reviled this movie was critically.
Said something about that. Ruining Christmas.
Yeah, no, this movie was very controversial in its time. It was very hated by a lot of people, particularly because of, you know, it was a movie that came out around Christmas time, and its advertisements did feature, you know, a Santa Claus as a scary character, which
right.
they thought was going to ruin Christmas for children. Which is okay. Which is so it's one thing, you know, to be upset, you know, because, you know, the marketing might you know, like, be upsetting to children. But then, you know, a number of critics at the time took it, you know, a step further. Leonard Maltin declared the movie, you know, possibly, if not the worst movie of all time.
Had The Room came out at that point?
No.
Go on. Sorry.
Gene Siskel, on Siskel and Ebert, named several members of the crew.
Jesus.
So that everybody knew who they were and right. declared, shame on you.
Oh my God.
In like this public rallying call. Like,
oh
just.
Oh my God. You immoral bastards taking Christmas and making it not good. Oh my God.
I mean, the reaction to this movie, I think, totally justifies all of the misanthropy that this movie contains. Like, the reaction to this movie really does prove people really suck.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I have to appreciate that. But otherwise, I don't think it's a very good movie.
No.
Again, I'm not a big fan. I don't think I'll be coming back to this one. I should point out, this is one of the first movies that we've done that I've been cold, like, completely cold on both entries.
Yeah, I was only cold on the original. Mm-hmm. I knew of it, but I hadn't seen it. And I think I saw some of these sequels in the, like, story, but I had not seen, like, the original. So it was definitely good. And we accessed the original through, what was it, Amazon?
I want to say it was Amazon, yeah.
Yeah, and I actually own the remake of it, so did not have to do a whole lot of shopping.
Yeah. So, do you want to talk about the remake?
Let's talk about the remake.
Okay.
To begin with, you know how I said in Halloween that there should just be an entire movie made out of Malcolm McDowell's? Like, Malcolm McDowell should play Malcolm McDowell in Malcolm McDowell?
It sounds vaguely familiar, yes.
Malcolm McDowell is in this remake.
He is.
And I feel like that's enough news for everybody, and done with that story. But we should probably get into more detail.
It's probably expected of us, yes.
But I feel like Malcolm McDowell covers everything. Good and bad. Mm. So, okay. I like Jamie King's in it too, and the guy, Donald Loge, I think?
Yeah.
Isn't it? So they've got some, like, bigger-ish names in that movie mm-hmm. compared to the original, who the only person I know in the original was Lena Quigley.
Yeah.
So the original opens up with a guy killing, a guy in a Santa costume, killing a man with Christmas lights.
Yeah, but he doesn't strangle him, he, like, electrocutes him with them.
Yeah, he fastens him up to where they're almost like an electric chair.
Yeah.
And I don't know how that'll work. I don't know if that can work.
The answer is that it doesn't.
Well, and the thing that bothers me about that scene is that, okay, he electrocutes the guy with the Christmas lights
mm-hmm.
as if it was an electric chair. But if you look from, like, catty corner from the guy, there's a light-up Santa across from him that does not have any kind of light flicker whatsoever.
Yeah.
Like, are they on separate breakers? Like, what's going on here, guys? That doesn't make sense for me.
It's a Christmas miracle.
Apparently. And your main person that you're following around in this movie is Jamie King's character, who is a cop.
Mm-hmm.
And you find out that her dad is actually a retired officer mm-hmm. as well. So it runs in the family. And I think there was some issue with, like, her husband either dying in a war or dying on the line of duty. Like, they don't really get into detail, but Christmas time and her husband's death messes with her.
Okay. Yeah.
I remember that much. So, yeah, she follows around this guy as Santa, and there's a lot of red herring Santas. You think it might be Donald Loge's character, who's very bitter about the holidays,
mm-hmm.
and who actually keeps, like, a scrapbook
yeah.
of, like, weird incidences with Santa.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's another guy known as the Snowman.
Yeah.
Who's, like, delivering drugs. He's the Snowman because he delivers, like, what, crack?
Probably cocaine, I'd imagine.
Crack, cocaine, whatever.
Yeah.
Anyways, he's delivering cocaine, and he's another, like, could-be-the-Santa.
Mm-hmm.
But then you find out at the very end of the movie that the Santa who's gone on this rampage is either this child who witnessed his father torch his cheating mother, or it's the father that was gunned down and didn't actually die. They don't actually make it clear which one of them it was.
Yeah.
At least not for me. And
I wanted to say I thought it was the father, but
yeah, see,
they
and
had
I
that whole scene.
They had the whole scene, but I thought maybe it was the kid too.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. Like, they left it kind of ambiguous there. And also, like, the daughter, Jamie King's character, is calling up her dad and is, like, telling him about the case and about the weird Santa, and he's like, it wouldn't be the first time a blah, blah, blah had to bring down a crazy Santa. And I'm thinking to myself, oh, are they referencing the original movie? Mm-hmm. You know? No, they're referencing their own fucking movie.
Yeah, yeah. No, and I usually would prefer that. But yeah, no, this was definitely a movie with, you know, a central mystery that really didn't need to have a central mystery. No. Because the end kind of reveal, if it, you could even call it that, was so completely inconsequential and non-effective.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't, it did, you didn't blow your mind, it didn't, you know, it was like, oh, okay, well, that's the end of the movie.
Right. I mean, what would have been, like, mind-blowing is if it was discovered that it was Jamie King's character's husband doing it.
I guess.
You know, in a way. Yeah. Or if it was even, even better, like, friggin' Malcolm McDowell's character.
Yeah, well, that would certainly explain why he was so completely incompetent about everything.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And I think he was supposed to be the, like, chief sheriff or whatever, or, like, the guy in charge.
Yeah, he would have been the sheriff.
Sheriff, yeah. And the others were deputies.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but they're just like, it's almost as if they were like, oh, shit, we forgot to explain the Santa.
Yeah.
You know, like, and they tack something on at the end. I mean, the remake had some inventive deaths, if not aggravating deaths for me.
Well, there was certainly the wood chipper, yeah.
I hated the wood chipper.
Yeah, it was definitely a scene that, really tests the bounds of suspension of disbelief.
Yeah, it did.
In pretty much every part of its, you know, throughout the chase to the kill to everything.
Yeah.
From, you know, falling from a, what, 5-story, 4-story building and yeah. living to running in literally nothing but underwear.
Yeah.
In broad daylight.
Yeah. So, this woman... Okay, so they call... So, we talked about the snowman. And this company calls up the snowman.
Mm-hmm.
And they're taking... they're taking photos. And they're kind of pornographic in nature. Or at least they're going to end up being pornographic in nature.
They're pretty pornographic, yeah.
Okay, when I think pornographic, I think sexual acts. This woman's just topless.
This was softcore pornographic. It was not hardcore.
Yeah. No, it was simply a woman with her top off. Like,
right.
You know. And she wasn't even like, woo, booby touch. She was literally, yeah. But anyways, I digress. So that's happening. And more stuff's going to happen eventually because they're getting drugs. Heck yeah.
Yeah.
And, like, the photographer's assistant gets killed off right away.
Mm-hmm.
And then the photographer and the evil Santa are fighting. And this chick, in just her underwear, frilly panties, hides into the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of bolting out the front door when the two of them start fighting, she hauls up in the bathroom.
Yeah.
And she's like, hey, buddy, you okay? You want a soda? You all right?
Yeah.
And then pops Santa. It's not her photographer friend at all.
Right.
And she's all like, ah, oh, biscuits! And she jumps out the window.
That scene would have been so much better if she actually said, ah, biscuits.
It would have been, yeah. I am reenacting this very low budget.
Note to any, you know, schlocky horror movie makers, that would give me a full, like, I would give a full star, like, bonus. Take that from a 2-star to a 3-star.
You know what?
Just for the word, ah, biscuits.
They're going to put it in the Toxic Avenger remake.
Okay.
What they're going to do.
Okay,
they're,
well, the, yeah.
They're going to be like, ah, biscuits. Anyways, she falls out this window, and it's winter. They have established that it is winter time.
Yeah.
Because you've seen the police officer, played by Jamie King, walking around in a fucking parka.
Oh, and I'm going to, like, add to that, too. It's winter. In what? In
Wisconsin.
Wisconsin. Yeah. So, cold-ass winter.
Mm-hmm. And this girl who falls out of this building might be 100 pounds total.
Yeah, no, she should have frozen solid while she's running away, pretty much.
Like, 110, maybe. Like, she's a petite little girl.
Yeah.
And she falls out this window onto garbage, and for whatever reason, everything that's frozen is now a solid fucking brick.
Mm-hmm.
I know this because I work,
yeah,
you know, in produce coolers and, like, dairy coolers. And let me tell you something. Having, like, hot dogs drop on your feet, they're bricks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the fact that she fell out of a five-story building onto garbage and just, like, walked away without bruises.
Yeah. Well, she ran away.
She ran away, okay.
She had some urgency, at least.
She had some urgency. But the thing is that, like, she got up and she's walking around, and this is, like, a small little town.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, I think of this town as being, like, kind of Kelowna, like, Kill Valley, Geneseo-y. Like,
the part that she was in would have been fairly crowded.
Yeah.
There was lots of residential, lots of storefronts. Yeah. I mean, yeah, there should have been, anybody could have looked out their window.
And saw, like, her.
Hey, there's a topless chick, you know, being chased by Santa with an axe.
Yeah, but nobody, absolutely nobody notices this girl do this.
Yeah.
And, you know, she's walking on pavement with her bare feet. So, like, those have got to be hurting.
Yeah.
And she runs through a friggin', I don't want to call it pine forest.
So it was a Christmas tree farm.
Christmas tree farm. You know what? You call them farms. I call them Sam's death villages.
Yeah, Sam is allergic to pine.
I am very allergic to pine. So the minute she hit the pine area, I was just like, well, I'd be dead. Of course, I wouldn't be running around topless either, though.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, Batman's got his contingency plan where he has, like, you know, kryptonite. I just keep a thing of pine at all times in case she ever turns on me.
Right. And my contingency plan for him, I don't know what it is yet.
It's probably just a hammer.
A hammer?
I am pretty weak against hammers.
Ha ha! It's one weakness. A hammer. How did she fucking know? It was a guess, guys. It was a wild guess, but it was a good guess. So anyways, this girl's running through the tree farm, which sounds so weird to call a farm. It's weird. But she's running through it, and Santa catches up with her and chops off her leg.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that alone should have killed her.
That actually, like confounded me for two reasons. One is that he got it in one hit, like, yeah, one swing. That's impressive.
Right.
And then two is that, you know, she managed to live despite, you know, like, the gouts of arterial blood just spurting endlessly from her leg, you know.
Even, like, crawled. Like, she had the adrenaline rush to start trying to crawl away from him.
Mm-hmm. And then he, of course, picks her up and puts her in the chipper.
Yeah.
And she screams, like, until, like, her head disappears into it, like...
Yeah, which is not gonna happen. Like, that whole scene bothered me because, like, nobody noticed that she was, like, just running around out there. And the fact that, like, he pushed her in feet first, which I get, like, that's a much better, like, visual for a horror movie. But, I mean, practically...
Yeah.
I just feel like face first would be better.
Because,
I mean, face first, they can't claw at you and such. I watch a lot of fucking Forensic Files.
I can tell.
So do you.
Oh, yeah. No, that's true.
You do.
So my question is, do you get as strong a vibe as I did that whoever made this really, really, really liked Fargo?
Yeah.
So... Jamie King's character is always wearing, like, this hat that just could not separate the hat from Frances McDormand.
Yeah.
The entire setting just reminded me so much of, you know, of the Minnesotan kind of.
Oh, wee.
Yeah. And then you get the wood chipper death. Like, yeah. You get Steve Buscemi's end, granted on somebody a bit probably more fun to look at, but, I don't know. Maybe you like looking at Steve Buscemi. I don't know.
Wow. Last time you were insulting Anton Yelch. Now you're insulting Steve Buscemi.
I'm a big fan of Steve Buscemi, but he does kind of look like a meth addicted woodchug.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. And we just lost our entire fan base. For people who, one, like meth-addicted woodchucks, and two, people who are fans of Steve Buscemi. Like, what the fuck are you doing with this podcast?
It's my end goal to drive away all of the people.
Not all the people.
Yeah.
Then nobody will listen to us.
Yeah. But yeah, no, so, like, that was certainly a trying death. I mean, it's... I wouldn't say that it was, you know, completely... I was laughing my ass off during that scene.
Okay, but, fair.
I don't think that was the intended effect.
No, I don't think it was either.
That's basically what I was doing during that scene, which I guess is worth something.
Yeah.
The rest of the deaths in the movie, I want to say, were fairly not that memorable, though.
No. Well, they did recreate Lena Quigley's death.
They did.
They ended up having the mayor's daughter,
mm-hmm.
Who was... And that was actually a weird scene, too, because, like, prior to that, like, she's... So she's with her boyfriend, and they're about to, like, canoodle.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a scene earlier with the boyfriend where he's hanging out with his grandpa, who is, I don't want to say catatonic, but he's not, like, been responsive.
Mm-hmm.
And it's basically the same speech that Billy's grandpa in the original gave Billy.
Right. So this movie basically borrows two scenes directly from the original, and then otherwise they have nothing to do with each other.
No, other than the fact that it's a Santa on a rampage.
Yeah.
And it's because of some horrific events that were witnessed. Maybe.
Maybe. Yeah.
Maybe. If it's a child, if it ends up that it was the kid who witnesses the dad, like, taking the torch to the mother.
Yeah.
And getting gunned down, then yes, it's a kid witnessing a horrific event. But if it's the father having survived the gunning down, then what the fuck?
And that's where I kind of, like, I wasn't aware that was really a possible, like, that it would have been the kid.
Right.
Because I was pretty sure, like, when you see the killer at the end, he's got the burns and stuff. So I assumed he was the father.
But I thought maybe he got the burns in the movie. Not, like, at the end of the movie, like, when they're doing the flashback, but I thought, like, when he was battling it out with Jamie King's character.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, we're confused, so if you made this movie...
Please explain it to us.
Yeah.
I can't say that I cared enough about the plot to really, like, usually I do some reading on these.
Yeah.
And I did some reading on the original, but this one I was kind of like, well, I mean, I'm going to put about as much work into it as they did, so.
Right, well, and they even say, like, when we did the research to find out how much of, because I wasn't 100% sure if this was even a remake of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And everything I'd come up with said, it's a loose remake. So, yeah, I looked it up, and they had said that this was a loose remake
mm-hmm.
of it. Because I wanted to make sure that we were actually watching a remake of a movie, as opposed to just another movie that was kind of in the vein of it.
Yeah.
So.
And there's enough direct, there's the two direct references. So.
Yeah.
And of course, yeah, it's...
Basic plot, person in a Santa suit kills people.
Yeah. And in most cases, I would, of course, you know, tend to say that I've said this multiple times on this podcast, that I tend to prefer loose remakes over direct remakes.
Right.
But at the same time, if your loose remake doesn't have anything worthwhile to add,
All right, so this feels like it's going to be a shorter episode, but honestly, there wasn't a whole lot of work with these movies.
Both of these movies are pretty straightforward, and they're pretty, they're kind of minimalistic, and they don't have a whole lot you can really sink your teeth into, so.
No, I mean, see them, because they're schlocky. There are definitely schlockier movies out there that we'll talk about,
mm-hmm.
But if you want something that's just, like, you don't have to put a whole lot of thought into it, and you're in that, like, Christmassy horror mood.
Yeah.
Probably watch Krampus.
you should absolutely watch Krampus, yes.
But bearing that, like, if you can find Silent Night, Deadly Night, or Silent Night, like,
and you've got nothing better to do, yeah.
Definitely check them out, guys, so. Yeah. What are we drinking next episode, and what are we talking about?
So, if I remember the list correctly, we're gonna be watching Black Christmas, right?
Yeah.
As for what we're gonna be drinking, I don't know. I've got some ideas.
What are your ideas?
So we could do hot buttered rum,
right?
Which is pretty Christmassy.
Yeah, it is. Never actually had hot buttered rum.
Well, you're in for something.
Okay.
We can do Tom and Jerry's.
Right. Those did look good. And you said that that's something that you do right around this time of year, or at least, like, your family does or something.
Bourbon.
Bourbon?
No, it's every... That's all the time.
Yeah, that's all the time, dude.
Probably, in that vein, we could probably do eggnog, and I usually put bourbon in my eggnog.
Okay.
So.
I don't know if I can do eggnog. I've never actually had eggnog.
You've never had any eggnog?
No.
Are you allergic to milk?
No.
Are you allergic to eggs?
No.
Then you can have eggnog.
All right, okay. But is it like, how does it...
There's a 50% chance you'll think it's the greatest thing on earth, and a 50% chance you'll think it's the most disgusting thing you've ever touched.
Comment withdrawn. Oh. I'm making myself sad. But no, like, now I'm imagining, like, it's milk and egg. So, like, does it taste like the concoction that you would make to make scrambled eggs?
If you put some sugar and vanilla in there, yeah.
So, it's basically like the batter for a friggin'... Oh, God. French toast.
Yeah. Yeah, that's about right.
Huh. I don't know how I feel about that, because consistency-wise, it looks gross to me. But I'm sure eggnog's a lot smoother.
It can be. So homemade eggnog, I tend to prefer. It's a bit, at least, you know, as I make it, it tends to be a bit thinner and less syrupy.
Okay.
But if you get in a store, it tends to be really thick.
Oh.
So, yeah. And, anybody out there listening have their own comments or recipes.
Yeah.
On good eggnog, my ears are open. So.
Or, you know, just good holiday drinks. Like, we're...
Absolutely, going full holiday drinks.
Yeah.
Any have any ideas? We'll mention you if you want us to, and we'll totally try them out.
We'll try them out. We'll be your guinea pigs. It'll be awesome.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, next time we do this, it will be Black Christmas. We'll figure out some kind of holiday drink. I'll be posting it on the Facebook group. Let you guys know which drink we end up getting. So
yeah,
you guys can definitely drink along and watch the movies with us. So I guess until next time, right?
Yeah, unless you've got anything else to say.
I have nothing else to say.
Alrighty. Happy holidays?
Yeah, I guess.
Merry Kwanzaa, everybody.
Aw, that's sweet.
Yeah.
I'm gonna stop it now, okay?
Okay.
Okay.